Specsavers is proud to support the Green Hour. Let's work together in preserving the planet.
17 past 8, Newsboys with Guilty taking us up into our Green Hour this Wednesday morning. Our continued conversation on energy saving and efficiency around the country. And we've had some really interesting conversations of late, talking about innovation and technology. And today we certainly continue with that theme. As joining us in studio, we've got Martin Bordenhorst, the team leader of the NMMU's EcoCar, and Hitton Palmer from the deputy director of the e-mobility program at here in Nelson Mandela Bay. Gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Morning, Gareth, and morning to listeners. Thank you.
Morning, Martin.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Morning.
There we go. Students, I like the way you had the respect there. Let Hitton go first. Right, Hitton, let's start with you. Electric mobility becoming more and more of a thing in South Africa. We're seeing a little bit of the Nissan Leaf, one and two other cars, BMW i8. So, some excitement around it, but tell us about the idea around electric mobility and electric vehicles. I mean, is this really our future?
Most certainly, Gareth. I think what we find there's a shift in mobility within the global space itself, and exciting that South Africa has also got a footprint in that. If we look at it, the way people have been moved now, you look at basic electric wheelchairs. Wheelchairs are now, disabled people are being moved around via electric energy. And with that, electric bicycles, personal mobility vehicles, passenger vehicles, heavy vehicles, all the way even into marine transport is shifting towards greener, cleaner ways of mobility. And it's an exciting space. Within the whole mobility sector, we find that shift towards new energy transitions. And it's fitting in well within the whole smart revolution that's taking place. There's a big awareness to energy, and it's time we actually take that initiative towards that. And it's an exciting space for everybody involved within the whole industry itself.
Is this not putting more load on the system at the moment, because surely all these things will have to be charged, or is this technology really advanced?
When we look at it, it's a smart revolution taking place. So as and when you bring these new technologies, smarter technologies need to come into place to monitor when do they actually, these units actually charge, and what contribution to the actually, the impact on the grid itself. So once you introduce these platforms, then you need smarter systems. You're looking at smart homes, smartphones have already evolved from that, and you're looking at smart energy management and smart grid control. So all of that all plays in together. And there's actually some benefit in the long run, because, for example, electric vehicles have energy, huge energy within them on the battery packs. And as much as they consume energy from the grid, they have the ability to feed energy back into the grid under peak demands or in energy crises, in a sense.
I heard someone say, we've actually always had electric cars because our cars run off a battery, This is just an advancement of that.
Most definitely. I mean, the first vehicle, electric vehicle, was introduced or designed in the 18th century. And just time has evolved. There's so much that's actually driven on battery power. Cell phones and everything else has just become mobile. And the advancements of the battery industry has accelerated quite a bit. And this is what's all supporting everything else in a whole ecosystem, in a sense.
Because the whole hybrid technology came out, and that became very much the in word of the last couple of years. It's gone quiet a little bit now, and much more of a drive back towards electric.
Yeah, you see, we're in a phase at the moment where it's no more the vehicle OEMs pushing the technology or holding back. I think previously they held back of the technology because of the impact within the whole value chain of the automotive industry. But now we find ourselves that there's big push from climate change, and that's the biggest clampdown. I won't mention any OEMs, but the scandals that have been involved where, there's been problems with emissions and that sort of thing, and that your normal conventional petrol and diesel engines are not able to meet the standards that are set. We are on currently Euro 6 level emission standards, and that's very difficult for the technology of petrol and diesel engines to meet those standards.
Yeah.
So now we have to, the only way forward to meet those standards is if we introduce new technologies, and that's where energy efficiency comes into it. And that's what's really supporting. So because of the infrastructure gap that's required for 100% electric vehicles, hybrid vehicles will bridge the gap. But because of there's a key drive towards that, electric vehicles will now eventually take the lead after the bridge through hybrid vehicles. So it's an exciting space.
But is it like 2 years, 10 years, 50 years?
Well, there's a whole, it's not just the one industry as a whole. There's a big adoption. You look at countries like Norway and, some European countries are fast tracking it big time. So as long as it's adoption with government, with industry itself, we will see that drive. But there's a big drive. By 2020, we see, that's only 4 years away. And there beyond, there's going to be a big push. I mean, we already see all the manufacturers already looking into models, and they are. And it's not just a case of prototypes. There are vehicles on the market and on the floor itself.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, if you look at the European market, you'll see almost every car maker now has an electric version available. But they've got the charging stations and the infrastructure. I think we've got some way to go there.
Definitely.
But tell us about the activities of your Uyilo program that you're doing here in Nelson Mandela Bay.
Okay, the Uyilo program is a national program initiated by the Technology Innovation Agency, and it's really to fast-track electric mobility rollout into South Africa. It's hosted by the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University within ENSA, the Engineering Technology Station, and it's really to set up facilities, set up expertise to fast-track electric mobility. So that's within batteries, system components, and a live testing environment to look at how do these systems interact. So we run pilot projects. We run various initiatives with companies all over South Africa to try and encourage them and excite them to have a role in this industry that's growing in South Africa, but also create the opportunity for them to compete globally. It's an industry that's taking place not only in South Africa but globally. So with companies developing a platform in South Africa, they can market their products globally. So we want to excite the industry in South Africa and enable them to have a global footprint in this technology. So there's various initiatives. We guide as well as set guidance towards organizations like NAMSA and SABS on what are the challenges that lie within South Africa and what do we need to change in legislation and rules and regulations to adopt this technology into South Africa. So as a national program, we coordinate all those activities. We also have a small kickstart fund that we try and entice entrepreneurs and small SME companies to try and encourage them towards adapting new technologies to their products.
Okay, and any chance of solar charging these things? Little solar stations, perhaps?
That's what it is. You know, you want to move, you know, you're moving towards energy efficiency, and the main idea is to move towards green, clean energy. So, yes, initially you would then charge initially via the grid, but smarter technologies will then move to be charged via solar. You find that your new carport facilities will all, instead of having your IBR sheeting, will then become solar panels because it'll sit as both providing weather protection but at the same time energy generation. So that's what you're finding. And then again, rooftop PVs is the big drive towards that. Mm. So if you're generating your own energy, it just makes more sense to include that energy into your transportation.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, we know that NMMU has been involved with solar car challenges in the years gone by. Now they're doing a new eco car project. What's your connection to them?
I think, you know, it's a relative project when you look at energy efficiency in the sense, because within lightweight materials, you know, in the vehicles, everything has to be energy efficient, from the powertrain systems to all the components within the vehicles. And the big drive within the eco car is the composite materials. And I think that's got a relative space to where we're involved in. And they're driving that project excellently within the unit.
Wonderful. Right, we're going to speak to Martin Badenhorst after the break, team leader for the NMMU EcoCar. Stay with us.
Specsavers is proud to support the Green Hour. Let's work together in preserving the planet.
So welcome back to our Green Hour, 32 minutes past 8 o'clock. We've got Hedin Palmer, the Deputy Director of E-Mobility Program, in studio with us, and Martin Badenhorst, the team leader for the NMMU's EcoCar. Well, Martin, we move across to you now. Maybe we could just give us an insight. The solar car we've all become familiar with, this has now sort of evolved into a new project for you guys.
Yeah, basically the NMMU EcoCar project was a sister project to NMMU solar car project. And it's also a student project that allows students from various levels in various engineering disciplines to basically learn through designing and building an extremely lightweight and fuel-efficient vehicle straight from scratch. So it's... Yeah, I would say it's a great ground for students to gain experience and actually put what they're learning in the classrooms to good use.
So you're basically building a car from scratch, although it doesn't look like a car. It's a vehicle, let's call it that.
It's a vehicle, yeah.
And you're coming up with all the mechanics and engineering required to see how eco-friendly you can make it.
Yeah, we are running a petrol engine, but the whole purpose of the vehicle is to try and gain as much distance as you can off of as little fuel as possible. So ultimately we're going to compete in this year's Shell Eco Marathon event, which will be the second time that it's held in Africa, and that'll take place in October in Pretoria.
Okay, so just before you tell us about that, so we won't see this car on the shelves anytime soon, huh?
No, it's purely a prototype vehicle.
So tell us about some of the things. I mean, it's got three wheels, it's carbon fiber.
It's extremely lightweight, so basically we started with a few blank sheets of paper, and through, you know, doing some calculations and taking it through to the CAD software and analysis, we've built a three-wheeled vehicle, like you said, and basically the driver lies in it. The whole vehicle weighs about 44 kilograms,
wow,
and the fuel tank is 250 mils, okay, so half a Buddy Coke, to put into perspective.
Wow, how big's the boot?
There basically is no boot.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not built for comfort, not built for shopping. It's
And what's your fuel consumption like?
Well, we're still in the testing phase at the moment, and we've still got quite a bit of lightweighting to do. So I can't give you an exact figure at the moment, but it'll definitely be better than a normal road car.
Better than my Isuzu?
Yes, definitely.
Well, it's a challenge, I accept. All right. So results that you're hoping to achieve then at this Shell Eco Marathon?
Well, I think ideally if we could be the African champions for this year, that would be great. But like I said, you know, it's quite a tricky thing because you're going to go up to the race, and because such small factors play a massive role, like rolling resistance, if something happens, like there's a bit of a gust, that could influence results quite greatly. So I don't know, we're just going to go out there and hope to do our best.
Are you going to freewheel down the hills?
If possible.
All right, so you're constantly developing now, hoping to get better efficiency. That's the goal.
Yes.
Okay. And fuel that you use, normal fuel?
Standard station. 95 unleaded, yeah.
So we're going to see you pulling up next to us at the petrol station, no problem.
Maybe under you. It's a very low car.
How high?
It's just below knee height for, I think, an average person.
So there's no shopping in there.
All right. No, definitely not.
Some of the outcomes of your project so far, that you've celebrated some milestones. I mean, how long has this project been going for?
It's basically been going for just over a year and a half. And besides building, a vehicle that I'd be very proud of, it's been a massive learning experience. Ooh. So we've gotten to meet French delegates and people like Chief Mandela Mandela. In addition, it's great to get students to interact with industry people. So we've had a lot of dealings with people like Masita and Siemens. And then speaking to guys that are basically, you know, down on the floor and going to make your parts through to top-level management. So I think it's been a great learning experience.
Yeah, networking. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Interesting that you said the French there before our government. But anyway, we won't pick up on that. I think also it's perhaps changed your mindset and mindset about motoring, because there seems to be a revolution taking place,
yes,
you know,
definitely,
with electric cars and a change of mindset. We're starting to realize that these guzzlers of ours are not very eco-friendly, are they?
No, not really.
So what have you sort of discovered from the whole project for yourself? Are you driving nicely now at home?
I'm driving a lot better, I'll tell you that much. But I think the whole lightweighting thing, as Heaton said earlier, the two definitely go hand in hand. So we could have opted for an electric engine, but at the end of the day, it's a power-to-weight ratio thing, which whether you're using petrol or electric, it doesn't really matter. You know, you're still using less fuel to cover the same distance.
So I suppose, Hiten, this is what it's going to be about, the balance between the electric and finding eco ways of getting around these days.
Most definitely. You know, it's moving towards energy efficiency. And as I mentioned earlier, the big change is climate change. And with the summits that are happening, like COP21, the influence that it has is on a global level. And that's the big shift. So within normal petrol engines, diesel engines, they have to look at driving towards trying to meet these standards, especially the Euro 6 standard, which is very harsh on emissions. And there's optimization of, you know, technology within existing engines as well as new technologies. And that's where electric really fits in well towards that.
Well, it sounds like I could afford an eco car. I'm not too sure about an electric car. I'm sitting down. Do you want to tell us how much these things are costing these days, or am I missing the point there?
Well, no. You know, again, with this, there's got to be incentives to be adopted in that. And currently, government has got a roadmap that they've passed in draft. It's got to be accepted by Parliament and then eventually passed into legislation. So currently, there's no incentive by government towards electric vehicles. So the prices are quite high on the Nissan Leaf and the BMW i3 as well as the i8. As a normal passenger car, the Leaf is going for about 450,000. That's again unincentivized. So as in when we get adoption from government and all the industries involved, you'll then find there's incentives for that, which will then push the cost down. But having said that, your running costs are a lot less.
Of course.
You know, there's no fuel filter, there's no oil, there's no, you know, all of these servicing is a lot less.
No,
so initial
fuel
investment itself is high, but your running costs are a lot less. It averagely costs you 30 rand to you know, fully charge an electric vehicle, and you can drive 150 kilometers on that. So again, you know, your cost benefit will be on your running costs.
So yeah, I think we've got to see the bigger picture in understanding the future for electric cars as well for us. Are you going to beat the eco car consumption top speed?
Yeah, no, it's a good challenge on that. Yeah.
Well, we're not really built for speed, so Speed, I think.
Everything's about speed, Martin.
And
you guys are actually driving, Hitton, you guys are driving the Leaf at the moment. Tell us about the experience of driving this very quiet car.
Yeah, no, it's a great experience. Okay, it is a shift, an adoption. There's what's termed as the technology anxiety, and secondly, the range anxiety.
Yes.
But I mean, once you get exposed to that, it's actually a really excellent feel. You know, with electric drive, it's 100% torque delivery at 0 RPM. You know, so it's an excellent drive. Again, the petrol heads might question, where's the noise? But then again, you know, with certain vehicles, you can choose the type of noise that you're looking for. Do you feel like a V8? Do you feel like a V6 today?
Just push play, hey?
Yeah, that's it. So interesting times ahead. It won't solve everybody's cup of tea, but it's actually exciting times ahead.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is, you know, your everyday car, and that's what we're looking at. How many people really want that in every day? Yes, you'll have your Sunday car or your weekend car for your fun and that. But your everyday car, home to office, do you really do more than 150 kilometers? And how much fuel will be you be saving? So that's the market share that we're looking at.
I think the bottom line here is that we're not always comfortable with change, and this sounds quite foreign to us and feels like it's too far away for us to accept. But the reality is that, number one, we don't have a choice. We have to start changing the way that we use energy in our planet. And secondly, this technology is our answer, and it is being adopted around the world, and it is working. So we need to start changing our mindset and being willing to embrace it.
Most definitely. I see it as a smart revolution in our lifestyle.
Mm.
Look how smartphones have introduced our lifestyle, both good and bad. And then smart transport is coming to it, smart energy. Everything else is within the smart revolution. So it's change that's going to take place.
Yeah.
And the big change, as well as all the global countries have set, is 2020, which is just 4 years away.
Sure.
So that's where the big targets are set. Mm. And from there, from 2020 onwards, you'll be finding big change that's coming in globally.
Yeah, we didn't get it until you said cell phones. Now we totally understand. You can't separate us from our cell phones. Well, thanks for sharing the project with us. We wish you guys all the best. Keep us updated, and we'll try and look out for you on the road so we don't bump into you, that quiet car soaring past us there.
No problem.
Martin, just lastly of yourself, tell us about, when's the Shell Eco Marathon? Where can we follow your guys' story and root for our local team?
Well, we've got a Facebook page, so if people just go into Facebook and look for the NMMU Eco Car Project, we'll be there. And the Shell Eco Marathon, if I'm not mistaken, is the 10th to the 16th of October, to be held in Swartkops Raceway in Pretoria.
Fantastic. Wish you guys all the best there, representing Nelson Mandela Bay. And thanks for your time, and thanks for joining us on the Green Hour, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.